Welcome to the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast, produced by OOT Social Health, where the focus is on exploring the essential elements that drive organizational success, human-centric leadership. Hosted by Adjoa Boahidi, principal of AKB Talent Edge. I've ever had the privilege to pronounce. Emmanuel Sans-Fasson is a dynamic leader with proven track record of building relationships and driving collaboration across industries. As director of Enterprise Advisor Channel at GreenShield, she leads efforts to foster cross-functional partnerships that advance GreenShield's mission, better health for all. With over a decade of experience in leadership roles in organizations like Dialogue, the National Bank of Canada, and Medivie Blue Cross, Emmanuel excels in managing people and nurturing relationships that create meaningful results. Her expertise spans partnership management, team leadership, and delivering innovative client solutions, making her a trusted advisor in the health and wellness sector. Today, we'll dive into Emmanuel's insights on relationship building, team collaboration, and the role of collaboration in driving organizational success and community well-being. Welcome, Emmanuel.
Thank you so much.
Very excited to have you here. So, Emmanuel, at the Employee Wellbeing Council, we believe in being human-centric. And so you're human. We're going to center on you before we get to your expertise. We're going to center on you as a human. And so I'm going to ask you a couple of questions from the Proust questionnaire. He was an author and essayist who felt that these questions would really reveal more about the true nature of the person who's answering the questions. So you ready for your first one?
Ready.
Okay. Which talent would you most like to have, Emmanuel?
Well, a talent that I definitely do not have and that I would dream to have is a talent for music. So while I'm a great audience, I am so intrigued in terms of how I, singing or producing music is like a language. It's a whole new way of communicating, of sharing emotions that I find is really a superpower that I do not have. And so I would dream to have that talent.
Amazing. If you were to die and were to come back as a person or thing, what would it be?
That's a really tough question because, I have very varied interests and curiosity, and this really makes me think. But what I laid on is, I would love to come back as a camera. So I'll explain why. I'm very nostalgic and I love, being behind the scenes and like getting the chance to witness great interactions and like not interrupt, but also being able to travel, be present in different types of scenery, learning things and being, just witnessing interesting and great capturing moments and souvenirs that people will get and that we'll get to live on. So I'd love to be the thing that allows to capture precious moments and be all around the world traveling and witnessing.
That's amazing. And I think it actually leads a little bit into our conversation today. Because as I mentioned to you in our prep call, when I reviewed your background and things that, are in your LinkedIn profile, what came screamingly out to me was your powers of creating a collaborative environment and being able to nurture and build relationships. And I think in some ways that a camera captures, right? Oftentimes also relationships. Anyways, I'm making up a segue in essence to our conversation from the camera to our topic today of collaboration. So throughout your career, as I said, relationship building has been a central focus. What is your approach to creating sustaining, meaningful partnerships and relationships?
I reflect on it, and obviously I never reinvented anything, but what I feel is key to building those sustainable relationships is first making sure there's an alignment, like focusing on the objective. Like in terms of what are we trying to achieve together? Once we have that alignment, well, you can build a from a transaction of aligning on what we're trying to do together. There's what I find is my most precious, and I guess what's building it, the trust and the next level for the relationship is caring about achieving this. So when you demonstrate that you authentically want to be growing and having that partnership and building the trust, I find is really changing the tone in terms of just a transaction of a business relationship or working relationship. And the extra one that I find that you can sprinkle on top is make sure you have fun. I think it's, you know, and business is very serious, but if we make sure that we're aligned on the objective, why not really care about it in terms of the impact and the things we're going to create together and have fun while doing it? So these are my personal pillars.
The ingredients to success. And so I'm great to come to the caring and the fun piece again in a moment, because I think it leads into our next question. But I'd like to come back to what you said about clarifying the objective. Would you agree? Because I think sometimes we make assumptions because either we're in the same organization or if we're working across organizations in a partnership perspective, we sometimes assume that we both understand what the objective is. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree. But there's other layers I find when it's inside the same organization. And there's, I think, another pillar to that one that adds the values that you get to share. Though I find that, you know, outside of the organization, you don't necessarily have to, but I would definitely add a layer of yes, we can all be aligned with this is our main goal and everything, but if we're aligning also in terms of how we're going to do it, is even more powerful, I think.
Amazing. Yeah. So that does bring me to the next question. You know, at Green Shield, you lead cross-functional teams to achieve organizational goals. So how do you ensure that alignment and collaboration, in particular when people don't report to you? It's not always, not that the reporting structure should be the only piece that drives a performance, but certainly there is an element that supports, right, the performance when people report to you. However, you work cross-functionally where people sometimes don't report to you. So how do you create that alignment and drive the team forward?
Well, that is a tough nut to crack. I think there's never a perfect state. So in my perspective, it's always a work in progress where communication is the key. So again, the same pillars that you need to be aligned on, like, is the objective clear to everyone? Are we aligned on the values in terms of how we're going to be working together to reach it? I'm going to be sharing how much I care about we all achieve it together and build a trust and have fun. But if I don't communicate it properly and adapt to the different channels, and you know, there are some people that respond more to top down type of, you know, ways to align. Others need to be more collaborative, work as a team. And so how do you find that balance of communicating proactively and also in a predictable way that it's kind of creating that alignment, but continuously building, because I think you can't take it for granted that cross collaborative, like, things evolve all the time. So I think communicating, allowing to adapt and share feedback as we build it together. I'm leading initiatives that, yes, they need to cross collaborate, but there are part of it. So it's not just me doing it, is ensuring that everyone's part of it. And communication, I think, is the main element behind it.
For sure. And I think you have to be a master communicator and likely not just do it once, right? I mean, that's the other thing, is we oftentimes communicate something once and we assume everybody again has heard it or understood it. And yet we know in communication theory that most messages need to be heard, you know, 7 to 11 times before they actually resonate. So you must, Emmanuel, yourself be a master communicator.
I think it's, Hamza, I'll say it's still a work in progress. I mean, it's evolving in terms of learning on like, you're not never going to please everyone. And, you know, I always start with the thinking that, you know, making sure I connect with the what's in it for them, but then trying to please all these individuals, rallying to the same objective is impossible. So I still need to be managing and growing in my communication skills and rallying folks. So I think with that approach that like I do not have the perfect solution, and inviting folks to contribute to building it and the, having the right channels and manners, I think is where there is a strength in that openness that I think will help me be an even better communicator if I get that feedback.
Amazing. So a couple things that I draw out from what you just spoke about is you do try to understand also what's in it for them, right? What's important to each person who's in the project and helping to facilitate them achieving those goals. And the other thing I hear you saying is really about that situational communication and a feedback loop, being open as a leader also to receive, to have an open feedback loop such that, right, everybody can sort of improve along the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So people management, so I mean, speaking of managing people, and you said some, you know, people have different needs, right? Whether it's top down or side by side or guide on the side. So what strategies do you use to empower teams and foster trust and collaboration, a culture of trust and collaboration?
It's something that I'm passionate about. I think it's like both the like having those broad values that we know that are established and rallying everyone around them so that they can live them really daily and in everything they do, so that it really has that virtuous effect. But something I'm passionate about as a leader is, by you know, direct reports or not, is being able to be a mirror of people in terms of showcasing what are their superpowers to contribute to the main goals, to the, and really nurturing the values, and being able to help them see what how they're contributing and empowering them to really deliver on what they're good at. So I'm a strong advocate of focusing on people's strengths and how they can really use it. I love saying that people have superpowers because they really do, and identifying how they can leverage it, and then for things that they need to work on, who has that superpower? Well, that person will become your best friend, and this is how you build teams of Avengers, you know? Like I have a few colleagues that we have so much fun working together and feel like we complete, like we actually call ourselves the Avengers, and that's how you know we feel tight. But those superheroes have joint values and also all complete each other. If we add all the same superpowers, that movie's going to be boring, you know? So we need that level.
That's super interesting. That's super interesting in being a leader that recognizes the individuality and the fact that everyone has strengths. Oftentimes in organizations, we do focus on people's areas of development rather than focusing on their areas of strength. And recognizing that complementary strengths can really, right, be a powerful, that's what makes a powerful team. So to your point, not everybody has to be good at all of the same things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. So building relationships, though, is not always smooth sailing, right? I mean, we wish it were, but it isn't always smooth sailing. What challenges have you encountered in managing partnerships, and how have you addressed them, or how have you solved that challenge, so to speak?
Well, hopefully you know, you have built that caring, trusting relationship, and then you leverage all that communication. So it's like a personal relationship that, you know, if you communicate and acknowledge that something didn't go right, well, you still, you know, go by the facts. Like, we're still aligned on the objective. You do understand that I am invested and I care. It went off track. So then that's how we get to tap into this to fix it. And it becomes, you move away from the problem and then focus on how you're going to solve it. And we're going to be solving it together because we're aligned. We care. We trust each other. And we're going to bring back the fun into it.
And then have a couple of good laughs along the way, right?
It's like, so we can get the laugh about it after.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So would you say it's almost like a reset button where you're going to maybe peel back the, I'm using all sorts of analogies, reset button, peel back the layers of the onion, something to come back to where the core, where did it derail? Is that kind of what you're suggesting?
Exactly. And really acknowledge it, not trying to hide it. And like, it needs to be a transparent, and you know what, like it was not an intention. This still happened, and it's how we're going to fix it instead of, you know, trying to find the focus on the reason and things like that. So it's, building from it.
I think that's the essence of humanity in some ways. I mean, that sounds rather lofty, but right. It's the essence of humanity of just indicating one's own humanness in this situation and having the leadership courage to take that accountability as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you as a leader also model that, then hopefully team members, right, will feel the comfort to do that as well. And I think that is the key, one of your superpowers, I suspect, Emmanuel, in building collaborative relationships. So at the council, as you know, we're particularly focused also on ensuring that equity and inclusion runs through the discussions that we have and our leadership perspectives. And so it remaining, you know, the forefront of remaining human-centric, really, in this age of AI as well. So how do you, as a leader, ensure team members and partners represent diversity of experience and can bring that authentic self to work?
Well, I'm really stuck on my superpowers, right? So I think a diverse team is a team of superheroes. And so, yes, I can be helping identifying the individual superpowers, but how do I make sure that I showcase them, celebrate them, and invite them to really build on it? So I think that's the responsibility of a leader, that to showcase the strengths of diversity. And I've only seen incredible, you know, alignments and value created by team members embracing that diversity, because your weakness are their strengths, and how can we grow as humans as well in terms of sharing and seeing different perspectives. You think differently and everyone feel like they're growing when they're in diverse teams instead of just having team members that are validating your thoughts and thought process. So, yeah, but the leader really has a role in terms of celebrating it, showcasing it, and that it's really associated with having a diverse team.
Excellent. And I think it also helps in sort of creating the culture of learning and lifelong learning within the team as well. It sounds like that's a practical tip. And the leader's responsibility, though, really is to highlight, as you mentioned, highlight and showcase what has been learned as a team or individually, and then the strengths that, as you mentioned, the strengths that people bring.
Thank you for rephrasing this so well.
Am I doing that a lot? I'm just exactly on what you're saying.
I think it's incredible. You always capture, you know, the right element that I'm trying to transfer. So thank you. Yeah. So it's a learning organization and team. So yeah.
Excellent. So we are at the moment in our podcast where we want to ask you to provide practical advice. What is the one thing that I can do as a leader today? So as soon as I hang up, I'm going to go out and hug someone. No, maybe don't do that. What is the one thing I can do? What is the one thing that I, as a leader today, can do to ensure that collaboration fosters well-being?
It's one that I struggle, and so I thought I would share what I am working on, and is taking care of yourself as a leader. So leaders are always putting the team first, and by doing that, you're not necessarily walking the talk. So I think to foster well-being and being attentive and looking at your growth and all of that, I think, you know, all these ideas of putting your mask on first to make sure that you are in the good posture to be caring for others. Because if you're not in a good position, well, then it's difficult. And inviting your team members, your colleagues, to take care of themselves is not going to resonate as much if you're not doing it for yourself. So that's a bit what the practical tip. I'm like, take a moment to reflect in terms of, are you taking care of yourself as a leader? And how does it can impact positively your team around you and creating that, fostering that caring relationship and aura, I guess, around you.
Amazing. That's a great piece of advice. So as we end, we would like to ask you one more reflective question, I suppose one could call it. And if you could share a piece of wisdom with your younger self, you know, not at all implying that you are not young, of course, one's always young at heart, right? But if you could share a piece of wisdom with your younger self, what would it be, Emmanuel?
I think, funnily enough, I struggle with that one too. I think I'm still learning and evolving. I'm not going to be that out of the box, but you know, things like it's going to be okay. Enjoy the ride, because it's true that it's so true that it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. If I think of right now, the fun, the success that I have today, the meaningful connections I have is really built from all the experiences that I said yes, that the connections that I made, and that if you stay true to yourself, to your values, well, you'll reach the right destination. So it's really about the process and these different steps along the way that will take you to the right place. It's going to be okay, but enjoy where you're at and learn and explore, because it's all good. And you're going to reach the right destination if you stay true to yourself and explore. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, and I think it's such valuable advice and difficult sometimes to practice in the sense, right, that of taking that moment to say, it's going to be okay. I'm on a journey. I'll reach the right destination. It's almost like a mantra, a sticky note you need on your mirror or something.
Well, yes, because if I think of my younger self, I was very impatient to have an impact. So it's okay if you don't feel like you're changing the world day one in the workplace. What every little step that you do, each little action and connection is actually going to create that great impact you want to do. But I remember being impatient and then wondering if I was setting on the wrong path in terms of this doesn't feel right. And like, so follow your positive energy. You're feeling energized there. Follow that one. Yeah.
That's great. Amazing. And so Emmanuel Sans-Façon, I just had to say it again, because as you know, I'm such a huge fan of your name, as well as you as a human being, for sure. The Employee Wellbeing Council would like to thank you for your time today and for your insights. Very much appreciated.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I have a lot of enthusiasm to connect on these great values of well-being. And thank you for celebrating my full name. It is in very rare occasions that in English I would just skip to Emma, and you're celebrating the full Emmanuel Sans-Façon. You are. Thank you.
You too. Thank you for joining us on the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast, brought to you by OOT Social Health. We hope today's conversation has sparked new insights and inspired you to prioritize well-being in your journey to organizational success. Remember, when well-being ignites, well-doing follows. Stay tuned for more episodes as we continue to explore the power of human-centric leadership. Until then, be well and lead with purpose.